Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. When I say us, well, it's Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
How you doing? And then you got your Chris Williams over there.
Hey, yes.
Chris.
Hey, Steve.
Good to see you guys. Hope all is going well for you today. Now, are you guys kind of bored now that the coronavirus is here and not many people are trying to get help, and you're just trying to, you're like, you have these walking on the sidewalk with boards, call us for help? Well, how's that going for you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the pattern was, it's like the first couple months, everyone sort of did shelter in place, mm-hmm. not a whole lot of action. But I'm telling you what, the stress, the anxiety, the depression, the relational issues are real, and they yeah. are spreading like wildfire. I can say that living here in California. And so, honestly, we can hardly keep up with the calls. But I say all of that just to let people know out there that struggling deeply in this season is not a unique thing. It is very common. You are mm-hmm. not alone. There is help. Let us help you.
And folks are getting used to doing this telehealth where we see yeah. them by video conferencing or by phone calls, and we're finding it to be effective. We're mm-hmm. smoothing out the rough patches. So a lot of people are beginning to be willing to access therapy mm-hmm. through those means.
And we'll find somebody for you that can do it virtually. You don't have to go into their office if you'll just call us. By the way, if you're watching on Facebook Live, we would love for you to call us. And when I get my call screener back plugged in, I'll be able to take your call at 1-800-229-3000. Has there been any research done on whether or not a person is getting better therapy in their pajamas virtually than dressed as an adult? Do we know that?
Well, it's the pajamas on the bottom, the nice shirt on the top. yeah. That's yeah. the combo we need.
Well, I think the more comfortable a person is, the safer they feel, the deeper they can go. So I think pajamas gets an advantage here.
I would think so. I would hope so. Let me mention before we go to a break, then we'll come back. We'll go to the phones and talk with you. But, you know, we are on Facebook Live right now. And then there will be, as this program airs on Thursday, there will be a 5 Eastern time going deeper on Facebook Live that I do. And you can find all of these things, of course, on YouTube. And we would love for you to go there. We'd love for you to tell other people to go there. And like all the other YouTubers and stuff like that, we'd like for you to do a thumbs up or a happy sign or whatever you do. A like. That's it. We would really not like you to like. We'd like you to love it. We'd like you to do a love versus like, if that was possible. I doubt it is. Anyway, glad you're with us. And you do know, I hope you know, that we've got Intimacy and Marriage coming up just next week. That's August the 24th. Boy, would we love to have you there. And then this weekend, I believe it is, aren't we doing, it's November the 7th is Every Man's Battle, and Restore November the 14th. All of those things designed to help you get the most amount of help that you can possibly get in the least amount of time. Many therapists say it's like 6 months worth of work. One of the reasons is that you're with some other people, too, in a group. And they're encouraging you, but as they become real, you are kind of motivated to just be real. And until you're real, you'll never, ever transform into what you want to be or what you can be. You have to look at who you are. I mean, if you're trying to fill in a hole with two feet worth of dirt, but the hole's 4 feet, you're going to be incomplete. We want to get the whole hole full. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
That's right. It is New Life Live. Love being with you. Chris Williams, Dr. Alice Benton. And Alice, you're working on a new book here. What's the name of that book?
I certainly am. Loving and Understanding Your Teens in a Screen-Saturated World.
Wow. Mm. Wow, we need that. Mm.
Wouldn't that... Now, you have to figure that out. No one knows how to do that. So, anyway, now it's going to be exciting when that is out. I'm really excited that you're doing that. And I saw that the publisher and folks think your writing is really, really good. We don't know about Chris's writing. It's never been submitted to a publisher. But we're hoping, we're praying, yes. any day now he is going to become published author. All right, let's go to the phones. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. We would love to help you. Let's talk to David. David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. And thanks for joining us here. Have you been a long-time listener?
Thank
Is this the first time, or what's that all about?
Yeah, I've been listening for about a year.
Okay. Cool. Thank you for doing that. What's going on in your life that perhaps we could help you with?
So I was in a relationship and just kind of got broken up with because of my beliefs in God and my faith. So just
how old are you?
Wondering,
just quickly, how old are you?
21.
21. And you start dating somebody and you've been dating 6 months, right?
We were dating for 2 years, actually.
2 years. Okay. So how did your faith cause a rift that led to failure of the whole relationship?
I'm kind of wondering the same question, actually.
Okay. Why are you wondering? Go ahead.
Why am I wondering?
Yeah, usually when people break up, one person says, "Here's why we are breaking up."
Right.
But you don't know why. So, and then if you don't know why, you usually maybe you call back and say, "Okay, I need some clarity here."
Right.
That happened to me one time. I did that. I did call back, and of course, they gave me the answer. It wasn't you. Thanks. All right. So, what do you think it might be the reason?
She told me it's just because of my faith in God.
Okay.
And
David, how do you think your faith was negatively affecting her? Do you have any guess, or do you have a guess of what she would say?
That's hard to say.
Were there things you were unwilling to do because of your faith that she wanted from you?
No, I think it's just in general. She just didn't want to be with someone who believes in God and just didn't want to go down that path.
And how long had you known that this was how she felt about God?
I knew that, at first she told me she was agnostic and she was open to the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden she just came out and said that, it wasn't for her.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that had to be painful.
Especially after 2 years together.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
That's rough. So what's the question for us then after this devastating blow here? How could we help?
I guess just wondering how to meet someone who is faithful to God and how to go about that.
Okay. So that is your question. I'd like to cover something before we get there, and we're going to get there, if that's okay with you. But
sure.
I think, if you could find this out, that you might want to ask her, okay, so we've been apart for a while. I'm just doing a little research here. And, you know, we were together so long, and, you know, I had this faith, and you finally we broke up because you didn't want to be a part of a relationship where somebody had faith in God. So what did I do that, if you can think of anything, that made this faith that I have unappealing to you? Now, here's why I think this is a good question. Because she's a human being, and it forces her to look at that. Am I rejecting my boyfriend? Am I rejecting God? Or am I rejecting my boyfriend's faith or religious, quote-unquote, religious experience? I think that might be helpful for her, but also it might give you a little bit of information, too. She might, you know, here's a pretty trite one. But she might say, well, every time we got in trouble, you quoted scripture. Okay, all right, so you go, okay, next time I won't quote scripture or something like that. Or you said everything was, you know, spiritual or God. Just find out, if you don't know, anything that might have been kind of annoying or offensive. When we do our workshops, you know, we have Jewish folks, we have agnostics, we have atheists, and we're very a very Christian organization, but we don't try to cram it down anybody's throat. We don't want to be offensive. Now, there are many Christians say, well, if you're a Christian, you have to be offensive. But that would be something to tie up there. And I'll turn this over to Chris and Alice, and I'll come back in a bit, because we would like to help a guy like you who stood for his faith. We'd like you to find somebody amazing. What do you guys think?
Oh, I want to introduce David to somebody, and I think it's the first partnership that he needs to get acquainted with. So are you ready for this, David?
Yes.
I want you to be introduced to David, and here's why I say that. Because there is a lot of uncertainty and confusion in your voice, in your answers, and I just think there's a lot about yourself that you're figuring out right now, which is very, very common in your early 20s. And so life can get very, very confusing. But the more we're connected to ourselves, the better we're able to connect to other people. And for instance, spiritual health is like water. And what I mean by that is it seeks its own level. And so what we value in ourselves, what we know about ourselves, what we honor in ourselves, we will be looking for in other people. The same is true on the opposite side. What we dishonor in ourselves, or what we put down, or what we minimize or deny, tends to show up in our relationships as well. So there are three things that I tell people to really acquire, really work on, that will lead to long-term healthy relationship. And it starts with the self. And the first one is self-awareness. You know how God has designed you. Know how He set you up, your personalities, your gifts, your talents. And really it starts with what you want. Wants come from the center of our heart. And so now, not all of our wants obviously are healthy or godly, but we start there to really figure this out. And then self-awareness also happens with understanding our wounds and how our hurts and our pains and our unresolved hang-ups are interfering with our ability to connect with ourselves and others and God. And then the second part, so you have self-awareness, and then you have genuine humility. Humility is just being aware, but also comfortable and accepting of both our strengths and our weaknesses. I call it the big is. It's not good or bad, it just is. Here's what the things I'm good at, here's the things I'm not good at, here is my sin propensities. And allowing the humility allows us to receive feedback from other people, especially healthy people. And then the last one is just relentless growth, man. I'm on a growth path. to lifelong growth in Christ and where Christ is going to lead me to where I need to be in my life. And so as we have self-awareness, genuine humility, and relentless growth, we'll start looking for that in other people. And those three things are ingredients for a long-term healthy relationship.
Alice, some thoughts here. Really great, Chris.
David, along with what Chris is saying, I think you need to look at why it was okay with you to date a woman who did not share your faith and why you were willing to stay with her for 2 years when she didn't seem to respect or appreciate your faith. So becoming stronger in your own identity and your preferences and being okay with maintaining your preference and saying, this girl's not for me either. I'm going to keep looking around. You need higher exposure, I think, to a variety of women, but especially if your faith is important to you in the woman you're dating, and if you want to get married, then you want to expose yourself in to women in areas that there'll be Christian women around. So there are great singles dating groups in churches, especially in some of the bigger churches where there are fantastic programs available that set up the kind of situation to be safe and to find other people that do share your beliefs and share your interests.
Okay, David.
Thank you.
If you want to meet somebody, you find the hippest bar in town and go to happy hour, and you see all these people that get dressed up for happy hour, and that's where you could meet somebody, of course. But you're wanting somebody that has faith and quality. Okay, so last time I said this, I got in trouble. There are all sorts of dangers in online dating, but I think a Christian mingle or something like that, you might have a good chance of finding someone of your faith. And, you know, you put your profile out there and says, I want to be a Christian. And then you say this, and I'm not one of those guys that says he's a Christian, but then once I have a relationship, my Christianity goes away. So you want to acknowledge in your profile, I am aware of guys that say they're a Christian, but really what they're after is something that has nothing to do with a godly standard in dating. Okay, so I would just, right. You know, when you meet somebody, you have to be careful and you go slow and you talk on the phone a long time and then you email and text and all that stuff. And then if things are still going well, you set up a meeting and maybe you bring a friend and she brings a friend so that you've got some objective help there. And it's not for dinner, dancing, and a movie. It's just to have a cup of coffee or something like that. So that's one way. The other thing that really works well, if you want to find somebody interesting, if you've never painted, go to a painting class. Or go to one of these, whatever it is, wine and canvas kind of things where people are painting something. Pick a hobby that you've kind of liked and you've never, go get in a class with that where people are that aren't just looking for somebody to meet. Because here's what's going to happen. If you were to go to a painting class and all of the people there were 45-year-old women, and you're 21, every one of them would be leaving, trying to contact their niece, daughter, granddaughter, someone, because they just met one of the nicest guys ever. That's how it works, is you meet some people, and they know you're single and not desperate, and they become your networking party, and that's what we want to have going for you. So you do some things that, you know, where people aren't naturally looking to find somebody. If there is a dance class, you know, in our town, we have a place where tons of people go, and for 1 hour there's a dance lesson. Everybody dances with everybody else, and then there's a dance. It's a great place to meet wonderful, healthy people that aren't drunk and looking for somebody for something else. So I just think you need to become the most interesting single guy ever. And yes, you can sit around, watch sports at home, and then you're lonely and stuff. Or you could say, I got to create something here. It's a life that somebody else would want to be a part of. And it's a life that I never thought I would live, and I'm just enjoying it like crazy. Rock climbing, hiking, all these kinds of things. When you get involved with other people, you're going to find somebody that knows somebody else, and they're going to try to get you guys to meet each other. I'm going to send you, is this the one? Lots of ideas in here on how to increase the number of people that you meet and that perhaps you have potential to be with. I'll send you, is this the one? Also, I'll send you Every Man's Bible. I think you're going to enjoy this. A lot of, well, it's the best-selling men's study Bible. It really gets you motivated to read the Bible. We'll take a break. Come right back with more at 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. And be sure to go to newlife.com and check out what we're doing here. If you send a gift of any amount, we're going to send you a calendar, New Life Live calendar 2021. And it's got some pictures, really amazing, different kinds of pictures there. And every month we share who Christ is in his own words with a verse and a prayer. And what I love is that they come out of the study Bibles and specialty Bibles that I've edited or I've edited with Misty. So hope you'll like that. You just call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE, gift of any amount. We will send that to you. And we were going to ask you to help us with a matching gift that came in for $5,000, but we had somebody call yesterday who had been helped by us and said, I'd like to match that gift. So that was wonderful. All right, let's go back to the calls, and how about we talk with Charles? Hey, Charles, how are you today?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I have a question with the spirit of fear, because I don't go outside, so I feel that something might happen to me. So I'm just praying that God will deliver me from the spirit of fear, because the enemy attacked my mind, and I'm trying to find a solution that God can deliver me from.
What happened when all this came about? What was going on?
Well, right now, the enemy attacked my mind, and ever since then, I've been afraid to go out because of the spirit of fear and anxiety attacks. So right now, I'm kind of scared, so I kind of stay in. I don't go out without somebody. So because if I go by myself, I feel like something's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's start with you, Alice. I mean, that's pretty sad when we're trapped in our own home and wanting help for the spirit of fear.
Charles, you must feel so paralyzed. And I hear that something happened. It sounds like something traumatic happened to you outside that your worry will happen again. Can you tell us any more about that event that scared you?
Well, my past, it seems like my past is out to come at me. Because of, I'm afraid of motorcycles, because one day I went to the phone store to go pay a phone bill, and there was a guy, I had to turn around, there was a guy sitting in the parking lot on a motorcycle, and I kind of felt that he was there watching me. When I came out the store, I walked in the parking lot where he was at, I just looked at him, he looked at me, and I kept on walking, and ever since then I've been fearful about the motorcycle gang, because every time I go somewhere, I feel like they're following me or they're watching me. And that's how I've been so afraid of that somebody's out to hurt me, because I'm close to the spirit of fear.
And that's rough.
Charles, with your past that you refer to, were there times, too, that you were also involved in activity? Were you involved in gangs as well? Were you involved in any illegal activity in the past?
No. I've never been in a gang or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's probably a couple of ways to approach your fear. With the trauma that you have been through, and I imagine there's more in addition to the story that you told us here that exacerbates the fear that you have, you probably need to tell some of those stories in a therapeutic, structured environment so that you can gain a different perspective on what you have been through and so that you can receive healing for the trauma that you have experienced. But I also definitely believe in the spiritual warfare side of things. And so that you fight, coupling it with relationship, talking with people about what you've been through, in addition to using scripture to fight against the fiery darts of the enemy. And I want to give you one. You probably know this. One of my favorites, 2 Timothy 1:7, where we remind ourselves, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a strong mind. Now, I've got to tell you, Charles, I struggle with fear and with anxiety as well. And sometimes it can almost be paralyzing to me and keep me stuck too. So I go to ongoing therapy. I'm in a group to receive help for myself. I also take medication. Mm-hmm. And it's the combination of all those factors that help me overcome my anxiety too.
Chris, you have a word here before we have to say goodbye to Charles.
Yeah, Charles, just to echo what Alice is saying, you know, there is a spiritual component here, and this is also you're struggling with a mental illness component to it that's called panic, that comes with this thing called agoraphobia, which is the fear of going out of your house, and some paranoia that comes in. And getting into a good psychiatrist that can prescribe good medication. And my guess is that you grew up in a pretty chaotic home life that didn't feel safe. And so getting in with a therapist to talk about your past and to find a new level of safety inside of you, as well as in the world that God has put you in, is really important. And so this is exactly what therapy is designed for. And what you're struggling with, there are medications out there that can really help calm the fear and allow you to move on with the life that God has designed you for.
You know, Charles, when I hear what you're saying, you might have just picked one lane in a multi-lane highway. You think this is a spirit of fear. Well, you've told us about an incident that happened that maybe it wasn't even just that incident, but it sounds like there's some trauma here that has really hurt you or impacted you. There's another reason that we can't get out of the house, and that's our brain is kind of either chemically off a little bit, or you could say the wiring needs adjusting, and we see things much more intensely. It's like emotional augmentation, and a little bit of concern becomes a paralyzing fear to you. Somebody else is concerned, you're paralyzed by the fear. So I want you to hold on. Maybe we could find a professional that could help you look at all the lanes on this highway that keep you indoors, roadblock, from traveling on. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and we want to humor him. We want to go to him. Larry, what have you brought here to us today?
Well, an email from a lady named Debbie.
Okay.
She says, I'm a nurse and frequently need to have candid conversations that are not always welcome, but are vital. Mm-hmm. I strongly believe that without the work of you and your site colleagues, I would be seeing more suicide attempts, more child abuse cases, more battered wives, and more psychiatric admissions. You guys are the Navy SEALs of nursing. I have a donation today. I usually don't mention donation amounts, but I am here. I have a donation today of $490 because y'all give 70 times 7 in grace.
Oh, wow.
And that's what this world needs more of. Thanks for your courageous voice, It's much easier to give than to seek help. So, folks,
amen.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, you guys were talking earlier just about the anxiety going on and the the challenges that you're facing and that everybody is facing, and it's never more apparent than it is right now. And to be called the Navy SEALs of nursing, you know, emotionally, I think that really describes well what's going on here. And so, folks, that's why we need your support. We want to continue to do this, and we want to find more people to be the Navy SEALs, and we want to find more people that will need the help and will come to us. We had a staff member this morning that called and said, my next-door neighbor hung herself.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. Mm. And so we're doing what we can, but we can do more if we get more help.
Yeah.
So I'm just appealing, folks, to please give us some support. Please join Club New Life. Call and ask about all that. It's a wonderful monthly giving program.
Can help us and help so many other people. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry.
Alrighty.
And please call us and help us help reach other folks. Well, let's see. Who do we want to go to now, guys? What do you think?
Let's go to Kathy in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Same. How could we help today? Great. What's going on in your life?
Okay. I've been married 32 years, and we've been divorced for about since 2013, but we've been trying to get back together, and each time we try to get back together, he's supposed to have seeked help because he has a drinking problem and a lying problem. But this last time, it's only been, I've been back like, a little over a month, and he's done something that he's never done before, is admitted that he has problems and admitted that he has a pride problem. So my question is, because I don't trust him to do it on his own anymore, what is the correct way that he should do it to give me his faith back in him? I mean, I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Well, you know, this is really great that you're calling us because, you know, if you take two people and they're married a long time and they have problems and they separate, and then you get back together, you think it's going to be different or that you're going to try harder. It's not different, and trying harder just makes it harder. So now he's finally saying, I can't just sit around and do nothing. So if this was my husband, I would be saying to him, first thing let's do. Let's don't live together. Let's don't date together. Let's go to an open AA meeting and see what those people are doing over there to stay sober. Okay, so you go to that meeting with him. There'll be a speaker at an open AA meeting and or somebody guiding a discussion. And then you talk about that and then you tell him, okay, so let's find out when their individual meetings are, and then you get him to commit to going three times a week to AA and getting involved, get a sponsor, work the steps. It's either that or he needs to go into treatment for his alcohol problem. But nothing good is going to happen until the alcohol is treated. Alice, what do you think?
Kathy, sister, you've got a bigger problem than his drinking and lying and pride. It's your tolerance. Why have you tolerated for 32 years? And why are you so willing to return before he gets help, before he shows you evidence of change over an extended period of time? Why do you keep tolerating?
Well, that's why I'm calling, because I noticed that it's not working. And I'm not willing to, like I told him, I'm not willing to believe what he says anymore.
Kathy, I'm going to interrupt you. I think that you are willing to believe because you keep going back before he changes.
No, that's why I just said I'm not willing to go back. That's why I called.
Are you back with him now?
No, I'm not.
Ah, okay. Then I'm proud of you for taking a stand and for waiting to reconcile until he gets the help. But I want to move your focus. You're calling to try to get him the help. But I want you to call for you to get the help to change your tolerance level, which it sounds like it's in progress. I'm glad I was mistaken about that. I don't want you to focus on what he is doing, but rather that you would get into Al-Anon and you'd get around other sisters that keep you strong so that when he says with just his words, I'm better again, I'm willing to admit it now, you can come on back, that you can say those words aren't enough. Where's the proof? Where are the alcohol?
Right, well,
go ahead.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I'm definitely there. Like I told him when I talked to him that he's going to have to show me some proof. And I gave him, like, you're going to have to at least show me a big improvement by April that you're trying to, because we're not in the same state. I came back to where my family is.
Well, just don't wait to April to see how things are going. I think it's week by week. Just say, hey, I'd love you to check in with me. Send me a note. Let me know, a text, email, how many meetings you went to. What are you learning?
No, that's exactly what I mean. I'm talking about as far. That's exactly what I told him. I want someone to be accountable to me other than him that's telling me that he's doing the work. But what I mean by April is that I want to see progress. Within that.
Well, if that's what you're doing there, I think that's a good time frame for you. I think that's really good.
And it's right to be connected with his sponsor and his therapist and his drug counselor, to be receiving the feedback from them rather than from him, because you know you can't trust what he says about this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's a good person as far as he's always taking care of home, paid the bills, and stuff like that, but the lying and the alcohol, it messes with your trust. You know, you can't trust a liar.
No. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with an Addiction, and I think it's going to really help you understand, because a lot of it is about what you do, not what the other person does. And I'm really glad that you called us. If any of you are... You know, we have these folks that you've tolerated somebody. You've tried to keep the peace for years and years. And then you finally, you're ready to get some help. Well, just don't wait any longer, because it's human nature. You have this impulse. I'm going to get some help. That's the impulse. And then 75,000 cells in your brain form together, little roadblocks to keep you from doing the thing you need to do because you're afraid, or it's uncomfortable, or you might have to do something you don't want to do. So we got to work through the brain clot that's up there that's trying to prevent you from getting better. So call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us help you. Don't have that urge or impulse and then just shut it down. It's just not the way to go. So I'm really glad that she called. Anybody else? We've got a lot of resources that we can help you with if what you've been doing is just waiting, wishing, hoping that somebody would get better. We say don't wait to do what God might be waiting for you to do. We think God should do this or that, but in reality, maybe we could be doing something different. You guys, you want to go to another call here?
Yes, let's go to Beth in Mankato, Minnesota, listening on Facebook Live.
Wouldn't you know, the music would start there. Beth, how you doing?
We will Beth? Come to Beth when we
yeah,
come
okay.
back.
When we come back, we'll get to Beth, and if Beth's not there, we'll get to Bobby or Lisa or Timmy, whoever it is. Hey, really hope and pray you're going to have a better year in 2021. Have you thought about what to do to get ready for it? We've got an intensive called Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible. Wouldn't it be great to put 2020 behind us and march into 2021 with a new way of thinking, transforming the mind? Wouldn't that be great? You know, in Leviticus 18, God says, don't do the stuff people used to do and don't do the stuff you're going to see people do. Obey me. We'll help you do that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Beth is back, along with Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams. Beth, how are you doing today, and how could we help you?
I'm doing all right. I've never called into a radio station before, and just want to thank you. I listened to a lot of your Going Deeper and those series. Mm-hmm. But my question today is I've been in a marriage for over 20 years with a cyclical problem with my husband in terms of, there's been pornography. There's, probably an affair, but those are emails that there's a lot of denial to. And so tried to go through a lot of counseling and services and, try to improve upon those things. But we've once again in this cycle. And I'm not a clinical person, but, I do worry about some narcissistic qualities. And so my problem is that he treats me really badly. He calls me lots of names, but then he tries to act like I'm the crazy person in so many words.
Okay, so now we get it. We get it, and you don't need to tell us anything else about what he does, because all of it is going to be just not good. What do you want to do today that's different than on any other day?
So I was listening to your previous caller, and I thought that the response of tolerance was pretty interesting, but it's a struggle, right? Because it's this high to low, so you have a person that loves you really well for 6 to 8 weeks as long as you behave and you don't say no. But in this last case, I put a boundary in place because he was calling me names and cursing at me, and he doubles down. And so I don't know. I want to respond versus react, but I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I suspect a person in my position could get divorced, and is that the end of it? Is that the solution?
No, I don't think so, because I think you've got some options, and I'll let Alice start off. And the first option, it really doesn't start with him. Sadly, it starts with you, because if you're going to help him, you're going to need all the help that you can get, and he won't be helped until you respond to some help yourself. Alice, what are you thinking?
Beth, which one of your parents acted like your husband acts?
Oh, my mom, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I'm sure that you have learned how to survive with this and perhaps not to expect anything different. There might even be some deeply seated beliefs that you might not deserve better, or you're not lovable, or you're not worthy. And as long as you stay quiet enough, things will be okay. Does any of that fit for you?
So to some extent, but no, I'm not real quiet about that. For the longest time, I kept quiet about his behaviors, but for my own health, I've been very vocal with my siblings and sister-in-laws and friends, and recently, because he was quite detached from his mother, and there's definitely family issues and attachment in that direction, though he can't identify what specifically. I mean, there really seems to be a trauma, but what it is, no one really knows. So I've stopped hiding that because that just feels like it's spiritual warfare.
So Beth, let me jump in really quick here, because there is a lot of anxiety. You're going fast and furious, but and I hope Kathy, the previous listener or caller, is listening in on this. The very first principle of addiction, at least if someone's going to engage in recovery, is called powerlessness. So if you're, let's say your husband is powerless against his sexual acting out, and as a result, his life is unmanageable. Now, ironically, it's it's you who I want to be able to say I'm powerless against my husband's sexual acting out. As a result, my life is unmanageable. Because as long as your well-being is tied to his behavior, you will remain as sick as him. And so what we're asking is what we call detachment, is unhooking. And that does start with the boundaries. And he may not like it. And he may, his dangerous relational behavior actually may ramp up, and that's going to require stronger boundaries. But what that allows you to do is, I'm going to heal from the damage that you've done, and I'm going to let you get better or not. But that's up to you. And so when you take this really strong stance of as Alice was saying to Kathy, as you picked up on, I'm not tolerating the intolerable any longer, and I'm working on me, so you can go figure it out. And it doesn't mean that you're not engaged in things to try to, you know, encourage or help, or if he moves towards healing, that you don't partner with him on that. But you need to set boundaries, really strong boundaries, with this negative addictive behavior. And help in that in things like something called COSA, which is Codependence of Sex Addicts. It's a great group out there to help you work through that, as well as your own therapy would be essential in this.
And you'll have to develop a safety plan, because he gets mean. And mm-hmm. I'd be afraid of how he'll treat you, not just verbally, but perhaps physically as well.
Now, I have always had a difficulty loving people that call me names. I've never really been able to love them. How do you do that? How do you say, I love this man, and he's calling me these names, and he's angry and bitter, and he won't change. He just makes excuses. He obviously loves something else more than me, or he would never yell and scream at me. Well, how do you do it? How do you maintain that love?
I guess only God.
Well, could it
That's
be
the only thing
that
I can tell you.
Could it be that you're not really loving him so much as you're loving everything staying the same? But the more you let them stay the same, the worse they got. And now it's this name-calling thing. I want you to look at what you're really holding on to, because I think you've been holding on to a guy that has continued to deteriorate while your perseverance has continued to be there for him. And perseverance isn't the thing that's going to get better for him or for you. It literally is to stop persevering and start at this place of surrender, and where you say, I'm powerless, like Chris is saying. You're not helpless, mm-hmm. and you're not powerless over the choices that you make to make things better. But you really need some help to change you in the situation, so you've got the strength to do the right thing. Alice, a final note there?
Beth, come to Restore. November 14th, yeah. It's online. You'll get a tribe of women that will give you the strength to be able to follow through with what we're advising. And they'll love
great,
on you.
Great thing. Hey, we love you. We care about you. I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible. I think that will be a great thing for you to look at. But I'll also... I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with a Sexual Addiction Problem, and I think that's going to help you there also. So glad that you called. Hey, any of you, if you have some kind of struggle you're dealing with, we've got our phone bank. We were talking to all of them today, the folks that answer the phone. They really, really love getting to help people. But you have to call us first at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You give us a gift of any amount, send you a great calendar this month to say thank you. And when you join Club New Life, it's $30 a month. We send you, I think it's 8 books. Pretty cool. Have a great day today. And don't forget, it's Life Recovery Today at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.